Welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we chat about the week's big political stories. I'm Mike Siluma. Our big stories this week are the future of the Democratic Alliance in the wake of its controversial election posters, which have also caused tensions, apparently, within the party. Also on our menu this week will be the pressure which is piling up on Oscar Mabuyane, the Eastern Cape Premier, following the Public Protector's adverse report against him.
This econ is racist.
I've never, ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
Order!
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shape.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come in?
Order!
Let's welcome our guests today, Thabo Mokgoni, who's a Sunday Times parliamentary correspondent, as well as Ayabulela Segavu, who's a visiting research fellow and PhD candidate in politics at the University of Johannesburg. Let us start with you now, Thabo. Before the controversy of the posters broke out, it looked like the DA's campaign was going relatively well. You know, I see that some of the leaders in trying to defend the party have said that the posters were not authorized. But could it be that the posters are reflecting a political strain that exists within the DA? Or do you think that Dean McPherson was just a lone ranger?
I think they are, these posters, by Mikey, they are a proxy leadership battle within the Democratic Alliance. I think what's emerging here, we are seeing a power struggle between what you can call liberal factions, a liberal faction within the DA and a conservative faction within the Democratic Alliance, of which the leader, John Steenhuisen, would be part of the liberal grouping within the Democratic Alliance. Whereas on the other side, you will find conservatives like Mike Waters, and people like Khaleb Kachalia, who's an MP serving on the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises. You can see here that there's a clear battle in terms of what political direction the DA should be taking. It's a party that doesn't know, how to define itself, especially when it comes to issues of race, issues of black economic empowerment, affirmative action. Today they believe in triple BEE, the next day they don't. Today they believe the issue of race matters when it comes to addressing issues of historical injustices and how to deal with the socioeconomic redress. So for me, the DA finds itself to where it was 2-3 years ago when they kicked out Musi Maimane Bramaik. You'll recall that shortly after their dismal performance in the 2019 election, there was a report that was commissioned that was scathing about how the DA had campaigned during the 2019 election, which resulted in them losing 5 seats in the National Assembly. Steenhuisen came in last year. He promised to fix the DA, clarify its identity as a political party, provide a clear political strategy and vision for the Democratic Alliance. But it looks like we are back to where the DA was 3 years ago, despite Steenhuisen coming on board.
Thabo says that we're back to where we were, where Musi Maimane was forced out. Do you agree with that reading?
Good day again, Bramaik. So I think I agree to a certain extent, because if you look at some of the identity issues that the DA has experienced over the past few years, I think it's a microcosm of the evolution of South Africa's political landscape. Because the birth of the EFF and then the mushrooming of other political parties who are playing along the lines of identity politics, because we all appreciate that the political system in South Africa, especially voting lines, they are usually stratified according to number one, race, number two, classes. So what you find in the DA is that I think some of the factions, they must have realized that they no longer want to, because if you remember the evolution of the DA under Tony Leon, it was a minority grouping. It was a political party that was there to represent the interests of minorities. And then with the ascension of Helen Zille to the party leadership, it flirted with the idea of being maybe an opposition that is probably willing to gun for official power or national government power. So it was trying to transition or graduate from being an opposition to being actually a party that wants to contest national government. And then after a while, I think they realized that perhaps maybe they might have reached a ceiling in terms of the percentage of votes they can command nationally. So then they went back to their tradition of trying to sort of command governing power in the Western Cape and maybe try and flirt with gaining access to power in Gauteng, which was under Musi. But Musi became a convenient excuse to say that he failed to deliver Gauteng and they dropped by, I think, 2 percentage points. Therefore, it was grounds for him to go because he had failed maybe with the experimentation of trying to move the DA into Gauteng, and so that they govern the two economic centers of South Africa, Western Cape and Gauteng. But now what they are finding is that with the ascension of the EFF, because the EFF now is eating into the black middle class vote as well, and then the other smaller parties like the Good Party, coincidentally, the leader of the Good Party is one of the non-white representatives of the DA who are also casualties. So now they found that, okay, they are being contested in terms of the race-based politics they tried to play. So now they are reneging or going back to trying to position themselves as a party of minorities. And I would allege that the minority groups they are looking for, it's the English-speaking white people, the African-speaking white people, Indians, and maybe a portion of the colored vote who have never supported the ANC. So what is happening now is that they are finding that they are having challenges across the spectrum, because the Patriotic Alliance has also come up. The Good Party has also come up. So they are finding contestation in terms of the colored vote now. So what they are doing is they are trying to go back and be maybe that purely minority grouping of Indians, moderate colored people, and maybe the English-speaking white people, which coincidentally they lost to the Freedom Front Plus when they were trying to become a party for all. Because races in South Africa react differently. If you are saying that you are a white party that sometimes accommodated the black middle class, and then now you want to be a mass party for black people as well, those people start jumping ship and go to the Freedom Front Plus, who have never been apologetic in terms of the minority grouping they are representing. So now the DA is reacting to events, number one, on the political landscape, as well as number two, internally, where the people are now saying, the internal people, the heavyweights are now saying that, we didn't want to lose our original voter base, but now we seem to have alienated it when we elected the likes of Musi Maimane to sort of attract the black vote. So it's reactionary on two fronts, externally to the electorate as well as internally, trying to react or to appease those conservatives who are disaffected by the decision to sort of become a mass party for all. So I think that is what they've been struggling with. And John Steenhuisen, maybe they thought that by electing John Steenhuisen, they'd be able to shed much of the issues that divided them. But if you look across the pond with the ANC, the election of Ramaphosa hasn't appeased factions. So the DA is also not immune to that problem, in the sense that those problems still remain. Where does the DA want to go? And unfortunately, John Steenhuisen, 12 months in, has not been able to define where the DA is going.
Yeah.
So they go that way, and then they go that way.
Thabo, do you want to come in here just to round us off? The Ayabulela has just laid out the challenges within the party. You know how it has tried to reconfigure its support base, you know, at different points. But let's look very briefly beyond the municipal elections. There's still a national election coming through. What do you think is the strategy of the DA? Do they still intend to become an influential political force, or are they planning to just stay a party that represents minorities?
That's something they say, that you know they still want to grow beyond governing the Western Cape and the city of Cape Town. They want to retain PE or Ngqeberha and Tshwane in Gauteng. But at the rate where things are going, Bramite, they've really shot themselves in the foot. They might even suffer some losses, especially in the inland provinces, where there's a serious battleground for municipalities in Gauteng. So with the way they've managed their campaign so far, they've really not done themselves any favors. They just can't get their message through each time they are on the campaign trail. What has happened with the posters just follows them all over. Going into this election, it's going to be a litmus test on John Steenhuisen's leadership. Should they really not make any significant inroads or in Tshwane, in Nelson Mandela Bay? I suspect, and this is what some of the people that we talk to within the various structures of the DA, that, you know, there'll be trouble for Steenhuisen, should there be any losses at the elections on November 1. So, yeah, people are already saying that there'll be Kingly awaiting the first meeting that will take place post-elections so that they dissect whatever outcome would emerge from that election. And on that basis, it will then be decided what to do with Steenhuisen and what and how the party should respond to whatever outcome. So in a way, this election, you can say it's some kind of a referendum on Steenhuisen and his leadership of the DA.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Let's go now to the other big story of the week, which is about the Eastern Cape Premier, Oscar Mabuyane, fighting for his political life. For that, we're also joined by Thandokolo Tshika, who's the Sunday Times investigative journalist. Thandokolo, you followed the career of Oscar Mabuyane, you know, for quite a while. This story that is happening now with the public protector making the pronouncement and him this morning, overnight, deciding to go to court to stop the Hawks from investigating him. Is this a new story, a new development in his political career, or is it a carryover from before?
Afternoon, Pramike. It's a carryover from before because the initial story we wrote in 2019. Straight after he was going to be appointed as the premier of the province, after having won the chairpersonship of the province in that infamous Festival of Chairs provincial conference of the ANC in 2017, just before Nasrec, and you would know that. Before that elective conference and before Nasrec, the Eastern Cape was already divided into three in terms of the ANC camps. People who were following Zweli Mkhize. You had people that were going with the NDZ crowd, the Nkosi Sazana Zuma people, which in that case was Phumulo Maswale, whom he was contesting at that conference in East London. So you have to put that into context. He didn't have full control of the province, but the Zweli Mkhize people made a compromise and they worked together and voted together for the CR17 grouping. But the story itself emerged in 2019 after a certain fallout with a certain businessman called Lonwabo Bam, who was a very close friend of Babalo Madikizela, who's the human settlement MEC in the Eastern Cape from the OR Tambo region, which essentially was a region that was going with Zweli Mkhize before the elective conference. And Madikizela, Bam actually alleged that he had been given contracts in the OR Tambo district municipality. because of Madikizela's influence. That was to begin a problem for Oscar Mabuyane, which he actually finds himself in today.
So, Tandikolo, what exactly is he being accused of by the public protector and possibly by the Hawks?
At the center of it, Bramike, is actually a quite simple and straightforward accusations. You've got a businessman, Lonwabo Pam, who claims to have received monies from O.R. Tambo District Municipality under the instruction of Madikizela. And he got an instruction after getting payments from the O.R. Tambo Municipality. He got an instruction from Madikizela to pay an amount of about 450 to a draftsman who was doing renovations at Oscar Mabuyane's Bunkers Hill house in East London.
And this is 450,000 or 400,000.
It's 450,000. Which was paid towards the renovation of Mabuyane's house. It was paid into the draftsman's NetBank bank account, which he confirms. And the public protector has actually found that those claims by BAM were actually accurate. The draftsman, I think the company, it's Alan Moran, also confirms that they did indeed receive this 450,000 payment for them to carry out the work. Oscar Mabuyane denied having any knowledge of the origins of the money. So he is accused of an undue benefit from a state contract. He says he borrowed money from Madikizela. He does not know where the money originated from. But he cannot, and also on top of that, he claims that this was a loan, but we have never been shown any loan conditions regarding to that. So the accusation is that of an undue benefit.
Okay. All right. I think that let's bring in Ayabulela here. Ayabulela, in the greater scheme of ANC politics, how important is Oscar Mabuyane?
It's quite straightforward, Bramike, in the sense that Oscar Mabuyane has been very instrumental. The Eastern Cape was the third biggest province in 2017 going into the elective conference of the ANC. And as Panagolo has intimated, that coalition between the group belonging or the group supporting Uzwelinzima Mkhize, who later defected into the CR17 grouping, as well as the Mabuyane grouping, which was always pro CR17, they were instrumental in helping Ramaphosa ascend to the ANC presidency. What you have now in the ANC, both nationally as well as provincially, you find that those factions seem to have remained in the form of organization that they were in heading into the December 2017 elective conference in Nazareth. So Oscar Mabuyane, quite simply put, is that he is still important to Ramaphosa's re-election. Because if you remember, Ramaphosa has already been forced to fire from cabinet one of his key allies in Uzwelinzima Mkhize through the SIU reporting to the Digital Vibe saga. Now he's about to, if things go the way they seem to be going, he's about to lose another key ally in Oscar Mabuyane. Because if Oscar gets charged, then that means that he falls away, because he'll have to step aside, and chances are he won't be able to contest the provincial chairpersonship in December of this year. Because I read somewhere the PEC through the provincial secretary by Toby saying that they've organized the conference for December of this year. So if Mabuyane cannot stand for re-election there, it leaves the gates wide open, possibly for an individual who's probably aligned to the RET grouping, because that grouping is still somewhat organized in terms of contesting the provincial chairpersonship. So Mabuyane essentially is quite a golden ticket in terms of ANC politics, national ANC politics. For Ramaphosa, Because if you look at the provincial priorities or the provincial weight of the ANC, KZN is the biggest. Chances are Ramaphosa probably will not win that province because already Mkhize has been fired from his cabinet. So he might have lost a few votes there because Mkhize was quite vital for him getting some of the low-hanging votes that are outside of the RET grouping. Then you look at Limpopo, which is the second biggest. And then the Eastern Cape comes third in that list. And then Mpumalanga comes fourth. No one is sure. If you look at the PEC of Refilwe Mtsweni, Tsipane in Mpumalanga, no one is sure which way she will be voting because they have not made any pronouncements. And we're not sure whether T.G. Mabuza still commands the political power that he had going into the 2017 National Elective Conference of the ANC. So Ramaphosa let's simply put it this way, in the grand scheme of things, he needs his men in the positions they are in. He can't afford to lose Oscar Mabuyane. Which brings me to the next point that Mabuyane's future hangs in whether he is able to interdict the Hawks successfully because he's taken the report, the Public Protector's report on judicial review. Which means that the interdict stands a chance of succeeding because my understanding, I'm not a legal fundi, but my understanding is that something that is taken on judicial review, the findings of or the implementation of the findings of such a report cannot be implemented up until the court has ruled whether or not those findings are correct or whether they are outside the parameters of law. So For Ramaphosa, he's in a predicament. He's in a corner. Simply because his provincial strongmen seem to be falling away one by one. Because after Mabuyane, who knows who might be next? Maybe you might find that another domino comes into effect, where maybe another provincial chair comes into some form of trouble.
Tangolo, I want to ask you. You know, Oscar Mabuyane seems to be quite desperate to stop the Hawks investigation. Why is that critical for him not to be investigated? Because you would have expected another person might have said, "Listen, I've got nothing to hide. Investigate all you want. In fact, I'll cooperate with you guys." But he seems to be quite desperate to stop that investigation even before it happens.
Well, Pramak, as Ayabulela has alluded to, quite frankly, the fear is that if the investigation continues, then he will be charged. And once charged, he will be asked to step aside. That is where the problem is. And he desperately went to the Bishwa High Court to interdict the Hawks because he's aware of the fact that actually the Hawks have been a case against him was opened way before the Public Protector's report. So the Hawks' investigation might be at a much more advanced stage and charges might be formulated at any stage. So only taking the Public Protector's report on review, that won't save him. There is a case which was already opened and an affidavit deposed by Lonwabo Palm already to the Hawks. So he realizes the problem that he actually faces, that he might stall on the Public Protector by going on review, but he might not stand a chance against the Hawks charging him, which means that he would be asked to step aside.
Just briefly, to round this off, Ayabulela, the defense that he did not, that Oscar Mabuyane did not know where the money came from, do you think that it might save him? Might it have substance?
Bramaik, I think that is up to a judge to decide, but just by examining, because you'd think that in a personal matter, if I borrow money from you, you would probably know the source of where the money is coming from. From where I'm interpreting it, it seems a way of covering up. Because when you look at those funds that were meant for the Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela funeral, you sort of get the sense that, because it's not just Oscar Mabuyane who benefited, it was Babalo Madikizela as well as the provincial ANC. So you can almost see, you can almost string together an argument that that might have been a deliberate attempt to divert those funds. But that is a matter that needs to be ventilated in court. And hopefully his version of the truth is the one that stands the test of legal litigation. But from where I'm interpreting it, I think it's a defection.
That's all we have time for on the Sunday Times Politics Weekly this week. I'd like to thank our guests, Thando Kolochiga, who's the Sunday Times investigative journalist, Thabo Mngoni, who's the Sunday Times parliamentary correspondent, as well as Ayabulela Dlakavu, who is a visiting research fellow and PhD candidate in politics at the University of Johannesburg. And by the way, you can find a podcast of this conversation on iono.fm, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you prefer to source your podcasts. Until next time, we still say stay safe, sanitize, wear the mask, and avoid crowded places. I'm Mike Siluma, signing off.